The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Ah, what a Thursday college hoop doubleheader we have ready for you here. Luke Garza leading number 11 Iowa against number 21 Wisconsin in the Big Ten, 7 Eastern. Then we're headed to the West Coast Conference for number 1 unbeaten Gonzaga hosting rival St. Mary's in Spokane. Both games are on ESPN and the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up, coming to you as always live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Greeny with my dad. I mean, could you be taller? Chris Canty, how tall actually are you?
I'm 6'8", Greeny. And if I had a little better guidance from my folks, I would have played basketball and not football.
Well, could you have? Was that an option?
It was an option, but you know what? I just decided that I like to hit people. I kept fouling out in basketball, too, so it didn't make a lot of sense.
I may need to hit somebody here. They said, Greeny, go stand over next to Chris Canty. It'll be hilarious how small he makes you look. The disrespect is just remarkable. But we have a huge hour coming your way, and we're getting up with a quarterback who might feel disrespected. Big Ben, did you hear what the GM of the Steelers said? Certainly sounds like this could be the end of an era. We're going there live right off the top. Ben, where will a new era begin? We'll tell you why a team no one is talking about might make all the sense in the world for Deshaun. And there are two sneaky big reasons why Aaron Rodgers' return to Green Bay is not as certain as you think. We will tell you what those are in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. Ben Roethlisberger is the quarterback of the Steelers right now. That's what general manager Kevin Colbert said in a news conference yesterday. And if that sounds like a tepid endorsement, it's because it was in every way. Listen to more from the GM talking about the franchise QB yesterday.
As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He met with Art Rooney. He met with Coach Tomlin. He met with myself. He reiterated that to us, that he wants to continue to play. And we told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this current situation. With Ben's current cap number, some adjustment will have to be made. And Ben Roethlisberger did a lot of really good things last year, and we anticipate that he could still do some good things moving forward. Hopefully there's a way that we can try to figure out and do what's best for the organization and for Ben.
All right, so you see the numbers. I mean, this is one of the problems. It's maybe not the only problem, but he does have the highest salary cap hit in NFL history. Looking ahead to next season, you see the numbers up there. But as I bring our Steelers reporter, Brooke Pryor, into this conversation, and Brooke, thanks for getting up this morning. I'm always interested in the words people choose when they say things. So he said, as we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He said he could still do good things for us going forward, not he will do good things for us going forward. Those things feel significant to me. How do you see the situation if Big Ben wants to come back?
Yeah, those definitely are significant, Greeny. But there is a way for Ben Roethlisberger to not only be the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback today, but also in 2021. To do that, though, he's going to have to take a pay cut, whether that's taking a restructure. They can knock off about $14 million if they restructure and extend him to a deal with max voidable years. His hit would still be, though, around $27 million. There's also likely the less popular option in the Roethlisberger camp, where he takes a $17 million pay cut for 21 and plays for the vet minimum. That would put his cap hit at around $23 million. But it's clear, you know, he cannot come back on this $41 million cap hit. Ben said he's willing to play for whatever. He doesn't care about his pay, but the Steelers are going to test the sincerity of those words.
Yeah, and you know, we've been sitting here talking about whether Roethlisberger coming back is actually the Steelers' best option, but we don't really have alternatives. Brooke, what are they? What are the alternatives for the Steelers if Big Ben isn't there?
if Ben isn't there, they do have two quarterbacks on the roster in Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins. They know about what Mason Rudolph can do. He was the starting quarterback in 2019. He got to start one game last year. But if you thought the endorsement of Ben as the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers was tepid, it was about the same thing for Mason Rudolph. They said they want to get him more experience in some preseason games. That's not exactly the endorsement of a future starting quarterback. They've also got a project in Haskins. And when I asked Art Rooney II about the state of the quarterback room last month, he said that they're looking to add other guys, whether that's in the draft or free agency, but they're not done adding to that room to figure out what's next after Ben Roethlisberger.
All right, that's Brooke Pryor live in Pittsburgh. This is going to keep you busy for a while, Brooke. Thanks very much for getting up with us here. We'll check back with you soon. Let me bring the crew back into the conversation here. And D. Wood, you were not with us when we talked about this off the top of our show. What do you think is best for the Steelers next season as far as the quarterback situation is concerned?
Well, Greeny, the bill is past due for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And out of, you know, their loyalty as an organization, they held on to Big Ben too long. And obviously we talk about the injury that he had in 2019 with the elbow. And this year you could see a clear decline out of Big Ben, you know, at the quarterback position. Although the Steelers were 11-0 at one point, everyone was looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers like, this is fool's gold right here. And Big Ben was a big part of it. And I think that the Steelers, they need to move on, because when I look at the AFC North, they have the worst quarterback situation of any team in that division. And so if the Steelers want to keep competing and competing for playoff and obviously Super Bowl intentions, they got to make moves now to try to remedy the quarterback spot.
That's right. The other teams not only have good quarterback situations, but they're incredibly young. Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow. That is something the Steelers will have to address. But Chris Canty, the question is, do they address it this offseason or next offseason? If you're in their shoes, what do you do?
I don't know if they're going to have the possibility to be able to address it this offseason. And so when you look at this situation with Roethlisberger, I think they have to rip the Band-Aid off of it. And you heard the comments from Kevin Colbert, their GM, sounded really ominous. He qualified by saying, he's our quarterback today. And when you have to do something like that, doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of conviction behind it. And based on the cap number, just seems like all of the stars are aligning for Big Ben to go ahead and shut it down. But in terms of what they do, that's still a question mark. They've got some possibilities in-house, but I think the important thing is to keep in mind the identity of this team moving forward. It's on the defensive side of the ball. They got some contracts they got to address on that side to keep that core guys together.
Yeah, contracts are always a huge part of this, and it's the part that fans don't always know the most about. So, Yates, what should we expect to happen here? Did we lose Field?
No.
Oh, I apologize. We may have lost Greeny. Field Yates here, who's with us. He is back. Okay, go ahead, Yates. What do you expect to happen in Pittsburgh?
Well, we know there's going to be some sort of movement on this contract, Greeny. He cannot come back to a contract cap hit of $41.25 million for next year. But when we talk about middle ground, the question is, how much in the middle is it, right? As Brooke mentioned, there is an option where Ben Roethlisberger plays for the veteran minimum contract, and that would give the Steelers as much wiggle room as they could execute in this scenario. But if you're Ben, a future Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion, are you really willing to play for the veteran minimum next year? And I was thinking about this since we talked about it during the first hour of the show, Greeny, is that we are looking at the comments yesterday from Kevin Colbert as the most significant development in this timeline. But I think the fact that Ben Roethlisberger went on record, I believe it was to The Athletic originally, in saying that, oh yeah, I'm open to restructuring my contract. I know that it's not going to be me back at my current number. That gave the Steelers the leverage to make the comments they made yesterday and not have the perception amongst fans be like, wait, you're saying Ben might not be back? I think the ball has gone from the Steelers' court to Ben's court now a little bit. He's going to have to look at whatever options they present to him and say, nothing's perfect, but what am I willing to accept? The Steelers have some leverage here. Ben's going to have to take a pay cut. The question is, how significant will it wind up being?
And listen, and Brooke sort of alluded to this. We've all seen Mason Rudolph. With all due respect, I don't think most people view him as the future starting quarterback there. The Dwayne Haskins one is fascinating to me. This is a guy who was 2 years removed from being a high first-round draft pick in the NFL. Do you believe, Chris Canty, he can be rehabilitated, rejuvenated?
Well, if it's going to happen anywhere, Pittsburgh would seem like a likely destination just because it's a stable franchise. And right now, a quarterback that's trying to find his way – it would seem like that's what he needs in year three to get things turned around. So if he can't figure it out in Pittsburgh with those weapons that they have on the outside, it's probably not going to happen. But in terms of what they're doing with Ben Roethlisberger, I think it's obvious that he's not the quarterback that he once was. He limits that offense because he can't push the ball down the field. So I think if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, before you ask yourself the question of how to rework the contract, you got to ask yourself, do we want the player back at all?
Well, look, I mean, any of us who watched Dwayne Haskins play in college at Ohio State, no, he can push the ball down the field. Of that, there is no question. Do we expect him to be their starting quarterback next season? Probably not, but it is just a name to remember. His presence there is not to be overlooked. All right, we're just getting this hour started. So much to come. The Packers have a big decision to make in the weeks to come, one that could further affect their relationship with their legendary quarterback. You'll hear what that is. And Zach Wilson was a name you might not have known a year ago, but you're going to. Why this young star could upend the entire NFL draft. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Saturday is all right for fighting. It's top-ranked boxing Saturday night from Vegas. Miguel Burchell defending his WBC junior lightweight title against Oscar Valdez in the 12-round main event. Main card starts 10 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Prelims begin at 7 on ESPN+. All right, back to the NFL. We are now less than a month from free agency, and the Green Bay Packers have big decisions to make at the running back position, where Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are both set to become free agents. That tandem combined to produce 76% of Green Bay's rushing yards in 2020. And a reminder, they took A.J. Dillon in a much maligned move in the second round of last year's draft. He didn't play a lot because they have those other two guys, but he did make the most of his opportunity. Week 16, he ran for 124 yards, two touchdowns in a game you may remember. That was that snowy Sunday night game against Tennessee. So we try and figure out if we think this is going to happen, and everything sort of points back to Aaron Rodgers. How would it impact Rodgers if they lose those guys? Field Yates, do we expect them to lose their top two running backs?
I think it's very possible. At least one of them, Aaron Jones, will be the higher-priced player in free agency, will go greeny. But you just made the important point. A.J. Dillon was their second-round pick last year. And yes, it was much maligned. But you don't just draft for the players you need that year. You draft for future needs as well. The Packers forecasted they could need a running back to be their starter in 2021. Aaron Jones is an incredible player who earns whatever contract that he gets somewhere. At the same time, we have seen no position be easier to replace in the NFL than running back. As a matter of fact, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, two pending free agents, are good examples of that. Aaron Jones, a fifth-round pick. Jamal Williams, a fourth-round pick. No one was talking about those players when the Packers took them back in 2017. Aaron Jones is awesome. Jamal Williams, very effective. But if the Packers have to move on from them, there are ways to replace them. And A.J. Dillon is a huge part of that equation.
So, D. Wood, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you lose, for the sake of this discussion, Aaron Jones, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm sure he's not going to be the most thrilled guy. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I would be, if I had to weigh that losing those guys and my all-pro center, I'll take my all-pro center because, you know, protection is paramount. And I think that's where it has to fall for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Making sure the offensive line is fortified, adding some weapons maybe on the outside. But, you know, like Phil talked about, the running back position, honestly, it's like a dime a dozen. You drafted a running back in the second round last year. He's going to be your bell cow. So I expect the Green Bay Packers to continue to fortify their offensive line.
I just want to clarify one thing. You think that keeping the center is the most important thing. At what position were you drafted?
What do you think, Greeny? Center. Of course I'm going to advocate for the whole line.
Just making sure everyone's aware of that. I just want to keep things fair here as we disparage running backs and their value in life. Want to make sure that everyone is aware of that. What do you think? The idea, I mean, Aaron Jones is a stud, and he is, I mean, I think he qualifies as a superstar in the NFL right now based upon his numbers. Letting him walk out the door, is that not a big hit for the Packers?
No, it's a hit. I mean, he's got back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons and double-digit touchdowns. He's a Pro Bowl-caliber running back. But that being said, I think Field made the best point, which is you can replace those types of guys. You can find another running back that can contribute to that offense. But I think the identity of that offense is Aaron Rodgers and that offensive line. And knowing how Matt LaFleur likes to call the game, he's going to lean on that offensive line to create opportunities for chunk plays in the passing game. And so, to me, fortifying that, making sure that Corey Linsley stays put, has got to be the top priority in free agency.
Are you telling me that if you were running an NFL franchise, you would not sign any running back to a significant contract, one that would be in the top end of the market?
No, I'm not going out there and spending $15, $16 million on a running back. That seldom ends up working out for the team that does that. So, I mean, I just feel like this is a situation where the Packers, they've got to make sure that they prioritize Aaron Rodgers and that offensive line.
What do you think, Yates? Is that an accurate statement to say no one gets rich? That's the wrong way to put it, but no one makes the right move by making a running back rich.
Hey, Greeny, what's the best running back contract that has aged at the top of the market? Find the one that's really worked out. David Johnson got traded. Todd Gurley got cut. Zeke Elliott is a player that we're talking about whether the Cowboys should have made the investment in the first place. Christian McCaffrey is awesome. He gets hurt last year. Mike Davis comes in making $3 million last year and has 1,000 scrimmage yards. They don't pay general managers to make the obvious decisions. They pay general managers to make the difficult decisions. And philosophically, I do not believe that making a running back a top five highest paid player at his position is a way that you can build a roster that is intended to sustain success. Aaron Jones is great. I think if I'm the Packers, I'm letting him get paid big by somebody else.
Saquon Barkley, if you're watching, I apologize to you because this conversation has to be very depressing. Super quick, D, would you agree with that or disagree?
I agree. I think you can replace running backs. Running backs are a dime a dozen, in my opinion.
Dime a dozen.
Wow.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be running backs. It is just a sad state of affairs. Oh, speaking of getting paid, be a baseball player. Let's get up and go. Fernando Tatis Jr. has agreed to a 14-year, $340 million extension with the Padres. It's one of the largest guarantees in American sports history. He will get the third biggest deal in baseball history. Oh, by the way, he's 24 years old. Elsewhere, as we get up and go, Tim Tebow is retiring from baseball after 5 years as a minor leaguer with the Mets. The former Heisman Trophy winner and NFL quarterback announces his retirement from baseball rather than reporting for another spring training, announcing yesterday, quote, "I loved every minute of the journey." And elsewhere, the stage is set for one of the most highly anticipated matchups of the NBA season tonight between the Lakers and the Nets. But the Nets will be without Kevin Durant, so he will not be going head-to-head with LeBron. The league cannot catch a break on things like that. Kyrie is probable, so him going against his former teammate LeBron does look like it will happen. All right, as we continue, it is the question in the mind of NFL fans across the country. Where will Deshaun play next season? Field Yates has done the work. He's got the answer. It might surprise you. Next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up. All right, Chris Canty, tell me what it feels like to be in playing in a basketball game and to do this.
Ew! Greeny, that's almost as good as sacking the quarterback. I don't understand what number four was thinking for Vanderbilt. Go up and challenge, but don't do this.
This is Keon Brooks who had the dunk. By the way, it was called off. It was a charge.
Doesn't matter. That video is going to live in infamy forever if you're number four. Challenge number four. Don't do that. Don't end up on his poster.
As we continue here, a lot of thoughts I have on that. Finding Tom Brady's long-term replacement did not work out last season for Bill Belichick. So where does he go next year? We've got that answer coming up next. And let's see if Field Yates can answer this one from Sneaky Hembo. Who was the only quarterback in New York Jets history to throw 30 touchdowns in a season? The question is for Yates. The answer is next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We've got good hoops coming your way tonight here on ESPN. First, we got Luka Garza leading number 11 Iowa against number 21 Wisconsin. That's the Big Ten matchup. Then out west we go. Number 1 unbeaten Gonzaga taking on St. Mary's. Both games are on ESPN and on the ESPN app. All right, Sneaky Hembo has called out Field Yates today. It's a good question. Here we come, Yates. Who's the only quarterback in Jets history to throw 30 touchdowns in a season?
All right, so Greeny, I debated between two names. Brett Favre spent one season with the Jets, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who at the end of his Jets tenure had a somewhat acrimonious salary negotiation after playing really, really well. The Jets weren't willing to fully commit. And knowing Hembo and being topical and the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick is part of my 32 quarterbacks piece, I'm going to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That is correct. You thought your way right into it, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2015. Okay. The next closest was Vinny Testaverde, who threw 29 touchdowns in 1998. Mark Sanchez, by the way, threw 26 touchdowns in 2011. That's well done by Yates. And so is this. Right now on ESPN Plus, Field Yates predicts the starting quarterbacks for all 32 NFL teams next year, and he has Deshaun in Carolina. Deshaun Watson to the Panthers. Carolina currently has the 8th pick in the draft as one of its chips to play in a deal to acquire Watson. He has Carson Wentz in Indianapolis, reuniting with Frank Reich, his former offensive coordinator. That could be a really good marriage if it does happen. For the Jets, who are at number 2, he has Zach Wilson from BYU coming their way in the draft. There's so much hype around this young player here. The Jets, of course, right now still have Sam Darnold, but this would mean a move for Darnold, and Field has Sam Darnold going to Chicago to join the Bears as Mitch Trubisky becomes a free agent. And then finally, in New England, with Cam Newton not likely back, he sees the Patriots going with Marcus Mariota, who's under contract for one more year with the Raiders, but there's a big cap charge. Again, he's got all 32 teams done, but those are some of the most interesting ones. And so let's get into it here. Let's start with Watson to Carolina. Why, Field Yates, do you think that is the likeliest landing spot for Deshaun?
Well, let's just make the Houston part fairly simple, Greeny. If they're going to eventually have to trade Deshaun Watson, you want to get him as far away from your roster as you can as possible. And Carolina is a team you'd play just once every 4 years. Now, what Carolina can offer is the 8th overall pick, and I think subsequent first-round picks in 2022 and 2023. I spent the week covering the Senior Bowl for us at ESPN down in Mobile, and the Carolina Panthers coaching staff was one of the two staffs there. And they were incredibly open about two realities. They lost 7 games last year by 1 score. They need a quarterback upgrade to turn those 1-score losses into at least 1-score wins. They weren't hiding from their need to upgrade their quarterback spot. Their owner, David Tepper, is a guy who's been around a lot of success with the Steelers. He's not afraid to be aggressive. I expect the Carolina Panthers to do everything they can to try to acquire Deshaun Watson if he is indeed eventually available from the Houston Texans.
You know, Damian Woody, the Carolina Panthers, to that point, are sort of a sneaky good team. People don't talk much about them, but they have two good receivers in Moore and Anderson. They have a better defense than people realize. They played the whole year basically without Christian McCaffrey. How do you like that fit? How good would they be with Deshaun next year, D. Wood?
I actually like that fit a lot. And, you know, we saw what they did last year in the draft. They basically spent their whole draft on defense. The defense improved. They got some weapons on the offensive side. Obviously, if you go out there and trade for Deshaun Watson, Christian McCaffrey would probably have to be part of that trade. But, you know, like Phil said, this Carolina Panthers team, they're going to be aggressive because they know that Teddy Bridgewater is not the future. They need a dynamic weapon, particularly in that NFC South. And I think Deshaun Watson would add a whole new dimension for the Carolina Panthers and give them the opportunity to be the dominant team in that division.
Correct, especially if you look at the age in the division. Drew Brees in New Orleans, Matt Ryan in Atlanta. Tom Brady has to get old at some point in Tampa. He'll be 44 next year. That could become a nice little spot there for Deshaun looking forward.
Yeah, and Deshaun's from that region. You know, Atlanta's just 3 hours down the road from him, so it would make some sense for him in terms of waiving that no-trade clause to go to the Panthers. But if you're Matt Rhule and that coaching staff, you're ahead of schedule. And like Field mentioned, they were on the losing end of 8 one-score games. If you got a quarterback that's capable of even winning half of those, all of a sudden you're talking about having a club that has a winning record. So I don't feel like this Carolina Panthers team is that far off at all. And getting a guy like Deshaun Watson absolutely puts him over the top, puts them in that playoff conversation.
Next up, I want to talk about Zach Wilson, Field Yates, because, look, all of us who watch college football but don't scout it intently the way you do, we've all seen Justin Fields for 2 years. He's played on the biggest stages in college football. But now Zach Wilson, the kid from BYU, has clearly supplanted him as the second quarterback in this draft. For people who've never seen him play, what is Zach Wilson?
Zach Wilson is incredibly innovative as a player, Greeny. I know we don't talk about quarterbacks as playmakers, but that's what Zach Wilson is. He's an excellent athlete. He's got a quick trigger to throw the football down the field. He's bold and confident. He is an excellent athlete to make plays with his feet. You go back and watch him against USC in 2019. He made this unbelievable sort of Deshaun Watson-like play in the pocket where he escapes pressure and throws the football down the field. He does that consistently. He's got plenty of arm strength. He has got all the athletic ability that you need at that position. He needs to fill out his frame a little bit and put on some more weight, and he's got to be a bit more consistent with his decision making. But this guy has such a high ceiling. He is so, so fun to watch. He's going to be a really good pro if placed in the right structure.
And maybe that will be with the Jets at number two. Very quickly, let me just get a comment from you, Damian Woody, on Marcus Mariota in New England. There's so much interest in what Bill will decide to do now, especially since Brady went down to Tampa and won a Super Bowl. How do you like the fit, D. Wood, of Mariota in New England?
It doesn't do anything for me. Are you any closer to competing with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen? Are you any closer with Miami with Tua, with a ton of draft picks that the Miami Dolphins have at their disposal? I just don't see, if you're Coach Belichick, I don't see Marcus Mariota getting you any closer to where you want to be, and that's competing with the Bills, the Chiefs, and the other, you know, elite teams in the AFC for your chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Mariota's another one who just came out with all the hype and promise in the world just a few years ago, right behind Jameis Winston. Winston trying to get a fresh start. Let's see. Maybe someone can figure out a way to unlock the magic that was Marcus Mariota on the college level. The piece is great from Field. It's up on ESPN Plus right now. Meanwhile, while you were sleeping, we had an epic match, at least in terms of its significance. Serena Williams against Naomi Osaka in the Final Four at the Australian Open. And in the first set, Serena is down 3-2, and Osaka with a breakpoint opportunity. She's in the near court, and she has got the first break of the match right there, up 4-2, and she knows how important that could be. It was an uncharacteristically sloppy performance from Serena. 24 unforced errors. Serena would lose the first set 6-3. Now we go to the second. They're on serve at 4-all. It's Osaka with another break point. She's in the near court. And Serena's court coverage has been extraordinary in this entire tournament, but that's just too good right there. 5-4, Osaka now with the match on her racket, looking to serve it out. And that's indeed what she does. Serena, again, 24 unforced errors, and Osaka goes on in straight 6-3 and 6-4. And the legendary Serena waving goodbye to the Melbourne crowd and then asked afterwards if that was indeed farewell.
I don't know. If I ever say farewell, I wouldn't tell anyone, so. So.
Considering how well you've played to get to this stage, what do you feel caused that? Or was it just one of those bad days at the office?
I don't know. I'm done.
While the emotion overtaking Serena Williams there. Meanwhile, tonight, 3:30 a.m. Eastern, more tennis action. It's Medvedev and Tsitsipas in the men's semifinals. It's on ESPN and on the ESPN app. All right, coming up, it may seem odd, but there's a reason we're comparing Ben Roethlisberger to Jared Goff this morning. It is a fitting comparison, and you will hear why next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Lift every voice. And
on April 2nd, 1984, John Thompson's Georgetown Hoyas, led by Patrick Ewing, beat Houston in the NCAA championship game, making Thompson the first black coach to win an NCAA basketball title. Thompson became a coaching icon during his 27 years at Georgetown. When he passed away in 2020, several coaches honored him by wearing his signature white towel.
Actually going to talk with Patrick Ewing later today. He'll be a guest on my radio show today, Coast to Coast, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio. But right now, we're finishing up Get Up with a bang. We've got 16 minutes left commercial-free. Greeny and Canty and a crew talking football with you. Again, commercial-free till the top of the hour here on ESPN, and that's when First Take will take over. Kyrie is expected to face his old friend-turned-foe, LeBron, tonight in L.A. Molly, Max, and Stephen A. on why a regular season game in February has real significance for both stars. That's coming up in 15 minutes here on ESPN. We're commercial-free. Until then, we start by talking about Ben, quarterback of the Steelers for right now. That's the way the general manager, Kevin Colbert, put it yesterday. His comments were fascinating. Listen.
As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He met with Art Rooney. He met with Coach Tomlin. He met with myself. He reiterated that to us, that he wants to continue to play. And we told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this current situation. With Ben's current cap number, some adjustment will have to be made. And Ben Roethlisberger did a lot of really good things last year, and we anticipate that he could still do some good things moving forward. Hopefully there's a way that we can try to figure out and do what's best for the organization and for Ben.
So to call that a tepid endorsement, I think would be an insult to tepid endorsements everywhere. And Chris, you were telling me earlier, it reminds you of something we just heard recently.
Yeah, my former teammate Marcus Spears pointed out on NFL Live yesterday that it sounded a lot like the general manager from the Rams, Les Snead, with Jared Goff before days later they went on and traded him to Detroit. So it's not exactly an endorsement. It's an ominous statement by Kevin Colbert, but I think they're facing the reality right now that Ben Roethlisberger isn't the quarterback that he once was, and he limits what this offense can be in the future. So before they're asking themselves the question of whether or not they can work out the contract, they're trying to figure out whether or not it's worth it to have the player.
That's exactly right. But the one thing that we sometimes overlook in sports is it's easy to say we need to move on. The complicated part is figuring out what you're moving on to. So Field Yates, if they were to decide that Ben is not their best option next year, what is?
It's a good question, Green. I don't know. I don't have the answer. That's why I want to say it's almost like my my internet went down and we froze there for a second. That's the kind of uncertainty that we have surrounding this. We've talked about Dwayne Haskins being on the roster. We've talked about Mason Rudolph being on the roster. Well, we know what it looks like with Mason Rudolph as their starter. Even if he's improved since the 2019 season, he's not a long-term answer. And if your plan going into 2021, your plan A is Dwayne Haskins, I think your process is flawed. The Steelers, if they don't have Ben Roethlisberger, it's not like they have a bunch of cap space to work with going forward. So while yesterday's comments definitely raised all of our eyebrows collectively, and while Ben has been put on notice, I still believe the best option that makes both sides happy is Ben staying in Pittsburgh, the Steelers just getting him on a much more bargain deal because there is no better option for them in 2021.
What do you think, D-Wood?
Well, I just think the bill is just past due. I think this was a case where the Pittsburgh Steelers, out of loyalty and, you know, as far as their organization is concerned, they kept the player too long. We saw in 2019, Big Ben had the elbow injury. This past year, clearly he wasn't the same Ben that we've seen over the years. So now the Pittsburgh Steelers are in a situation where there are not many available options to for them that make them better. And on top of that, Greeny, they're in the AFC North where you can make the case. They have the worst quarterback situation in that division. So if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're sitting in a bad position right now as far as your quarterback situation is concerned.
Yeah, and so it remains to be seen. You want to hit the reset button, but it's sometimes not so easy to hit the reset button, and that generally is a franchise that doesn't hit the reset button. Do you believe Chris Canty, Ben, will be their starting quarterback week one next year?
I think he will be their starting quarterback just because that organization values maintaining that relationship. And keep in mind how things ended with Terry Bradshaw in yesteryear.
Yep.
They don't want that same situation with Ben Roethlisberger. So it would make sense if they can rework the contract for the two sides to come together. But I don't think it's in their best interest long term because I think it could cost them some of the potential free agents that they have going into the marketplace.
It's a good reference for those who don't know or aren't old enough to remember. Terry Bradshaw got benched at the end of his career in Pittsburgh, the legendary four-time Super Bowl champion. And the relationship between Bradshaw and the Steelers has been complicated, to say the least, ever since. And that's 40 years gone by. So we will see how this thing plays out. Meanwhile, we have a little interesting news into our newsroom here, and it plays into this story, the Dak Prescott story we've been talking about seemingly forever. We know that he and the Cowboys remain at a stalemate on a long-term deal. Should he play this coming 2021 season on the tag, he would take home basically $38 million, every penny of which would count against the cap. And here's what we just got in. And Field Yates, I'm going to ask you about this. Adam Schefter just tweeted an announcement from the NFL in which they say that next year's salary cap will be a minimum of $180 million per team. I will point out that last year's cap, this past one, was $198 million. Next year, they're saying the minimum will be $180 million. It says here, this is not the final salary cap for the league year, which will be set following review of revenue figures and blah, blah, blah. But so they're saying it'll be no less than $180 million. Field, you follow this. Is that about what we were expecting? Is that lower than we were expecting? What is the reaction to that being the minimum number?
Previously, Greeny, the NFL had made it clear it would not be lower than $175 million. Mm. So the fact that it's gone up by $5 million is good news. Now, it's not enough for teams to be able to operate how they were expecting to operate going into 2021. But if you're a team like the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott, like the Pittsburgh Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger, like the Saints or Eagles or Chiefs who have a lot of cap commitments, every dollar will count. So now we know the minimum is $180 million, most likely, as you noted in that blah, 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 other factors will raise this salary cap up. It might be by a few million, it might be maybe by 5 or 10 extra million more, but in a year in which a salary cap drop could result in tons of veteran players losing their jobs, every penny counts, and going up by at least $5 million is not a huge victory, but a small victory this morning for teams all around the NFL.
Yeah, I hope I didn't wind up yada-yada-ing the most important part of this. I guess we will find that out when we get all the final numbers in. But D-Wood, let me come to you. Because one of the things I keep hearing on Dak is, well, they have to wait until they see where the salary cap winds up before they can figure this thing out in earnest. Well, now we've taken a big step towards that. So D-Wood, now what happens with Dak and Dallas?
Greeny, they got to get this deal done. They got to get this deal done. I mean, we all know that Dak Prescott holds all the leverage. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys, we mentioned in the last hour that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys organization have gone all in. That's why they drafted a receiver in the first round. You get the quarterback under contract, there's your salary cap relief right there, and you're able to address the defense. But if you don't address that contract and get that worked out, where are the Dallas Cowboys going to go? They're not going far.
That's the trillion-dollar question. So, Chris Canty, let's put it to you this way. You're a smart man. If Dak Prescott were to call you and say, Chris, how should I do this? Should I find the best long-term deal I can in Dallas right now? Or should I play this season on the franchise tag, take my chances on whatever might happen, and then try and break the bank next year as a free agent? Which would you advise him to do?
I think you take the risk, because you're talking about playing 2 years under the franchise tag, making nearly $70 million, and having an opportunity to go into the marketplace free and clear and sign the deal that you want, both in terms of dollars, but also in terms of length. And right now with Jerry Jones, it feels like he's hesitant to give Dak the kind of deal that he's looking for. He's fishing for a discount, and we're past that point with the negotiations. If you wanted to do that, if you wanted to get him on the cheap and you wanted to be able to spread the cap hit over the life of the deal, they should have signed him after his third year, but they decided to sign a running back instead. And from that moment on, we've gotten to the position where Dak Prescott holds all the cards and all the leverage.
Yes, the biggest mistake took place in Cabo. Next quarterback situation takes us to Philadelphia, at least for the moment, but probably not long. Carson Wentz, you know the history. His career got off to an unbelievably good start in Philly. Led the NFL in total QBR in 2017, just his second year in the league. But he got hurt that year, and there's been a variety of injuries since. He had the torn ACL. He's had the fractured vertebrae. He's had the concussion. And then, of course, this past year, the ultimate indignity. Benched in favor of Jalen Hurts for the final four games. Here is his former teammate, Chris Long, on what Philly should do next yesterday.
If I'm them, I do trade Carson and draft a QB and then let Jalen and him duke it out, because you've already ruined the relationship with Carson. Carson ruined it too by not playing well this year. If you're the school of thought that the Eagles didn't undermine Carson at all, you're wrong, I think. And if you're the school of thought that Carson should have been untouchable, you're wrong as well. The truth lies somewhere in between there, but the relationship is broken. Get what you can and get him out the door.
There's so much of that I find fascinating. Where he winds up is obviously the most important thing. But, D-Wood, just as we listen to Chris Long, he says it's not all about the Eagles. It's not all about Wentz. Where do you lay the blame? In the end, this is a situation that should have turned out better. D-Wood, who do you point the finger at?
Ultimately, the quarterback didn't play well. If you play well, you keep your job, right? I mean, that's the name of the game. You know, it's about what have you done for me lately type of league. So for Carson Wentz, if you play well, you're never in this position in the first place. And now that we know that, you know, with the fact that the quarterback and the coach didn't get along, didn't agree to a lot of things as far as the offense is concerned schematically, you got to move on if you're Philadelphia. You can't have this type of nonsense keep going on and plaguing your franchise. But for me, I'm laying this at Carson Wentz because he just hasn't played well.
And so, Field Yates, again, you have this piece on ESPN Plus where you put all the quarterbacks where you think they'll wind up. Where will Wentz be next year?
Yeah, my prediction was with the Indianapolis Colts, the familiarity with Frank Reich, the Colts head coach, Wentz's former offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, certainly helps things. The Colts, who pushed the Bills to the limit in the wild card round this past year, are ready to win. But the Colts they don't have their feet to the fire like the Bears do, where if the Bears don't make a move at quarterback this offseason that's notable, it helps them win games, then everybody could get fired next offseason. Indianapolis is not in that same situation. They don't need to offer the moon to acquire Carson Wentz. They can stand their ground. So the price in terms of trade compensation won't be that significant. And Frank Reich and his coaching staff has to be saying, we can resurrect Carson Wentz, because if they can, Greeny, as crazy as this sounds, 4 years and $100 million would be a discount for a franchise quarterback.
Absolutely. So, Chris Canty, I'm asking you now to give me a little crystal ball. Mm-hmm. If he does wind up in Indy, the tailor-made situation for him, Does he recapture the magic? Does he have the career we all thought he was destined for 3 or 4 years ago?
I think he has the potential to because of the supporting cast and the coaching staff at Indy. They had a lot of success in Philly when Frank Reich was on that coaching staff. And then you look at what the Indianapolis Colts have in place, what their general manager has done. It's a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense, and their offensive line gave up the second fewest sacks in the National Football League. Listen, Phillip Rivers last year, he wasn't a world beater. He was 19th in total QBR, and the team still won 11 games. So if you add Carson Wentz to that mix, I'm not saying that Carson Wentz is going to go in there and be 27 Carson Wentz, but he doesn't have to be. I still think this team is capable of being a squad that can win a playoff game.
All right, so we will see if that's where it winds up. If they only win a playoff game with him, I think most people would consider that to be a disappointment. But let's finish it with some fun. Throughout his career, as we all know, Cam Newton has been known for his high fashion before and after games. He recently uploaded a video to his YouTube channel saying the outfits might change this coming year. Listen.
One of my New Year's resolutions is to not buy high fashion. I've spent thousands of dollars, maybe even millions of dollars, on clothes that I only wore once. So to be able to recycle the closet, so to speak, is something that's challenging, but at the same time, it's going to be fun to do so throughout this whole year.
And so with that, we officially welcome you to Thursday, this Thursday edition of Get Up here on ESPN. And Damian Woody, I just wonder if you have any sense of what the experience he's talking about is like to spend all that money on items you only wear once.
Greeny, listen, man, when you got an opportunity to floss, man, you got to go ahead and floss it a little bit, you know? So for me, man, it's just like, look, I got the red mink on, you know, got the grand piano in the background. Why not finish the show off by flossing a little bit?
I'm with you. And you know what is great, D Wood, I think you'll appreciate this, that last week when you first wore that, the funniest thing we could think of was me in that coat. But today we have Field Yates. And I would say nothing in the world would be funnier than Field Yates. Field, how would you feel trying to walk around in that red mink?
Well, first of all, Damian and I are just slightly different sizes. I'm to Damian what you are to Chris Canty. So that might be able to, Damian's fur coat might be able to fit both my wife and I in it. I have, you know, talking about drip often on the internet. I don't have drip, Greeny. I don't have that. I don't have swagger. I would be a fish out of water in Damian's fur coat.
Listen, I think the mere fact that you used the term appropriately is a pretty good start. What do you think, Chris Canty? How would you look in that coat?
Listen, I can't pull it off. I don't think I'd look good in it. It takes a lot of swag, and I just don't have that in my bag. So good on you for being able to do that, D. Wood. Don't feel bad. I can't pull it off either.
D. Wood, final word.
I think you could, Chris.
Nah, I ain't got that.
Drip is good, by the way.
And drip is the final word, man. It's all about drip.
Fairly done. No problem. It's an outstanding Thursday. Chris Canty, great to see you again every single weekday morning on ESPN New York Radio. Field, D. Wood, thank you guys. See you tomorrow for more Get Up. It's time for First Take now.